Good morning and welcome everyone joining us online for church this morning. We hope you are enjoying a wonderful Christmas time. This morning's service is our last service of the year of 2020. How are you feeling about that? You know, the end of one year and the beginning of another year is a very poignant time for people. It's a time when we say goodbye to all that has taken place and we welcome in the new, a new day, a new season. And perhaps after the year we've all had this year, many of you will be saying you are glad to see the back of 2020. It has been a challenging year for us all this year. So before we look at what God has for us on this very important day, let's just pause for a minute and welcome his Spirit. Father, we ask for your Holy Spirit, come now and speak to our hearts and minds. On this very last day of 2020, we open our hearts to you now, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So at the end of a year and the beginning of a new year, I would normally spend time in reflection, reflecting on the year gone by. Now, I don't think it's healthy to live in the past or to constantly look back. However, I do believe that at a time like this, it is important to reflect on the year gone by. It strengthens our relationship with the Father. Spending time in reflection encourages a few things, actually. It allows us to see God's hand in our lives over the year. It encourages us to thank him for all that he has done for us in this past year. How he's watched over us, how he's protected us. When we see all that the Lord has done for us, we cannot help but then want to praise him. To praise him and thank him for his faithfulness. So spending time with God in reflection is a good thing. It leads us to praise and worship. It also increases our faith. It stretches our spiritual muscle as we've looked back on all that God has done, on his faithfulness. This fans into flames our faith that my God of yesterday is my God today, and God who came through for me this year will be with me next year. He is faithful. And church, it's not just me that encourages this type of reflection. If you look at the psalmist and you read through the psalmist is constantly being reminded of God's goodness. If you take Psalm 135, I'm not going to read it to you this morning, but this particular psalm, thought to be a psalm of Moses, is a psalm of remembrance, where Moses is remembering all that God has done, how God has led him through trials and battles, God's faithfulness. Then in Psalm 77, a psalm of David this time, David is remembering all of that God has done for him. Verse 11, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. And we see this throughout Scripture. Men and women stopping to pause, to ponder, and to give God thanks. In fact, in the Old Testament, we read of them stopping and marking these moments by building altars to the Lord and collecting memory stones. So it's very important at this time that we take time out to pause, to ponder, and to reflect. And whether you do that at the end of a year or whether you choose to do that at the end of a week, it's good to spend time with the Lord in reflection as it leads to praise and adoration. So at the end of this year, I did just that. I spent time recently reflecting on God's goodness, thanking him for the year gone by. And I do that for myself. I also reflect on the ministry that I lead here as your pastor here, a leader of Women to Women. And I spend time thanking God for all of that. However, just as it's important to pause and to reflect on the year gone by, it's equally important, church, to look forward. To look forward with fresh spiritual eyes, with vision. It's important that we are a people of vision. The Bible says, without vision, the children perish. I like the NLT version of that verse in Proverbs 29, verse 18, where it says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. And we want to be a joyful people here at Moss Vale. So it's therefore important that we accept his divine guidance. So as you know, one area of ministry which I'm responsible for, that God has given me responsibility for, is Women to Women, a ministry that I founded 14 years ago. And every year, at the beginning of a year, at the end of a year, I spend time seeking God for a vision for the new year for that ministry. And every year, the Lord gives me something new. It's something that I recommend that we all do, not just for our ministries, but for our personal lives. You can ask the Holy Spirit to give you a vision, a word, a motto text, a picture for the year ahead. Now, I shared with you already the benefits to spending time in reflection, reflecting on the year gone by. But what are the benefits to starting off a year with vision or with a motto text? Well, living with vision helps you to live with purpose. Our God-given purpose. We might not always know where we're going, but we know the one who's leading us. So it helps us to fix our eyes on Jesus. It helps us to keep on track. So when the cold and wet days come, and they do, you will not be tempted then to move off course. We know who to focus on. Having a motto text to recall throughout the year is beneficial. So when you feel like you're losing your way or you are tempted, you can go back to that vision or motto text and remind yourself of God's goodness, of his word to you. It prevents us from straying away and being tempted by worldly ways, worldly attractions. It helps us not to give up. As you can go back to that vision and you can remind yourself, what was it God said? What was it God promised me? Reminding yourself that he's the one that is in control and that he has a plan and a purpose for your life. So it's my desire that not only are we a people that live with personal vision, but here at Moss Vale Community Church, that we are a church that lives with vision. And I can't tell you just how important those motto texts or those vision verses have been for me and for Women to Women in particular over the years. When I get to the end of a year and I reflect and I look back at what God spoke and I see his hand weaved through that year, it's incredible. So this year, church, is no different. I spent time with the Holy Trinity asking the Lord for something fresh for 2021. And once again, the Lord did not disappoint. Only this year, I've decided to share that word with all of you. Because it's not just a word for me as a pastor. It's not just a word for the Women to Women ministry. No, this is a word, I believe, for the church in particular, for this church, for Moss Vale Community Church. So the vision this year comes from the book of Joshua, chapter 23. So in the Old Testament, the book of Joshua, chapter 23, and the vision this year is actually a set of guidelines. A set of guidelines for godly living. Remember, divine guidance brings joy. So before we delve into chapter 23, it's very important that we just remind ourselves that we reflect on what's already taken place. To see what the children of Israel have come through, in particular what Joshua, this leader, has gone through. You see, we begin chapter 23 with these words. After a long time had passed and the Lord had given Israel rest from their enemies around them, Joshua, by then a very old man, summoned all Israel, their elders, their leaders, their judges, their officials, and said to them, I'm very old. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember how I allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the lands of the nations that remain, the nations I conquered between the Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea in the west. The Lord your God himself will push them out for your sake. He will drive them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you. Excuse me, amen. So let's just look at that for a moment there. You see, after a long time had passed, Joshua is now a very old man. So first of all, let's just remind ourselves of who Joshua is. Well, if you go way, way back to the start of Joshua, we established that Moses has handed the leadership baton over to Joshua. You can read about that in Joshua chapter 1 and in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Moses was called by God, remember, to lead the children of Israel out of slavery to the promised land. However, Moses would never see the promised land along with many others, but Joshua would. Joshua would be the one to lead the people. So when it says there, after a long time has passed, you really need to understand what has taken place to really appreciate just what this old man has actually gone through and how he has led the people and what he's led the people through. Joshua was a mighty man of God. And in that time that had passed, not only had he led the people with strength and courage, but he had seen the mighty hand of God. In fact, when you think of the book of Joshua, chapter 23, it's not the one that jumps out to you. You remember those earlier chapters. You remember those earlier stories of how Joshua and his men scouted out the land and how they heard reports that there were giants in the land, but how that didn't stop them, how they proceeded with courage and with strength because they knew that God was with them. They had hope in their hearts. They had received the provision from God as they received the manna from heaven in the wilderness. They were the very ones that were led by a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. They were the ones that stood at the River Jordan and they watched the rivers parted and allowed them to cross safely. And in that moment, they stopped, they paused, they reflected, they collected those memory stones because they did not want to stop for a minute and think that God was the one that had done this. God was the one that had led them to this point. They never ever wanted to forget that. Joshua was the very one that had spent time with the Lord in that quiet place, listening carefully to his instructions and obeying. He was the one that came to the nation and said, right, we've reached the promised land, but this is how we're going to do it. We've met with the walls of Jericho. We're not going to attack the usual way. We're not going to do battle the usual way. No, what we're going to do is we're going to march around the city walls in silence, and then on the last lap, then we're going to raise a shout. And they watched as the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. They didn't need to do anything but obey. And it didn't stop there. After many, many years of exemplary leadership, Joshua and his men were led in many battles to many victories. They watched as God came through for them. God sent the hailstones. God commanded the sun to stand still, bringing about victory for Joshua and the people. So there in that opening statement here in chapter 23, this very old man is recalling all of that. All that's taken place as he gathers the elders and the leaders together and he reminds them of this. Verse 3, you have seen all that God has done. You know, a man like Joshua, a leader of his caliber, could have easily taken the credit for all of this, all of the success. He could have taken the credit for allotting the different tribes their land, but he doesn't. In this time of reflection, he praises God. He looks to God. He acknowledges that it is God. It's God himself that has done this. Joshua was taking a moment here to ponder and to reflect. He's looking back at all God has accomplished for the people. But it's more than just an end of year reflection. Joshua, as we read, is a very old man and he knows that one day is coming where he'll no longer be with the people. So this reflection, this vision is actually, as many scholars have commented, his farewell speech. Think about it. You've been with the people for so long. You've led them. You've nurtured them. You've counseled them. You've loved them and you've prayed for them. What final words are you going to impart to them? You know, if you're one of the elders and leaders that's been called to this meeting, this is the point where you move forward in your seat. This is the point where you listen up, where you get your pen and pad out. Listen up to the wise words that are about to be given to you because these are important words, much like Jesus did. Remember when he gathered the disciples together in that upper room the night before his death? He demonstrated many important things to us. He shared many important things that night with the disciples. He shared a meal that would become the table of remembrance for us as he broke bread and they drank from the cup. He then washed their feet, a demonstration of servant leadership. That's what he presented them with in that final time together before his death. And then come his words. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. His parting words to the disciples and to us today is all about love. So here we have Joshua and he's gathered around the leaders. Now he couldn't gather everybody together. However, he's chosen this select group of leaders because good leaders follow and imitate good leaders. So by giving them this word, there is that hope that they will then take that out and they will share that with the people. This is a message today for our Moss Vale leaders, our pastors and elders and ministry leaders. But it's also a message for us all today. For those of you who are leaders in education, those of you who are leaders in the healthcare industry, within the workplace, within your own home, mothers and fathers, single parents who are leading on their own. Joshua is imparting wise words to the leaders here, but it's not just for them. It's for us today. And I believe it's for our church today, this year ahead. As church, we need to see the importance of raising godly leaders, young men and women, godly teachers in education, elders and pastors. That's why discipleship and Bible study is so important to us here at Moss Vale and will be this year. And Joshua knew the importance of this. After all, he'd been mentored. He'd been led and encouraged by none other than Moses, of course. He had listened and he had watched Moses. And now he's an old man himself. With all of these years of experience, he's seen God's hand in it all. And now he wants to give that to the people. These wise words, these guidelines, he wants to impart that to them, for them to follow well after he has gone. You see, the big battles have already been won. However, there's still work to be done. It's the same for us today. We are victorious because Christ is the victor. Death and sin have lost their sting. I preached on that a few months ago. However, the ultimate battle most definitely has been won. There is still work to be done because we live in a fallen world with temptations and daily battles. So we therefore need to be aware of the enemy's attempts to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. We need to be careful, therefore, to obey God so that we do not fall into sin. And Joshua, he's aware of this. And he most definitely loves the people. He loves the people just as Pastor Hugh and I love all of you and want to care for you. And he wants to leave them equipped and aware of the dangers so that they can walk with vision, so that they can be a people who live with purpose and obey God's commands. And most importantly, that they do not fall into sin. He wants to protect them because he knows that they're open to attack. They're vulnerable to the enemy, just like a parent that takes a child aside. And if you're a parent like me, you may have done this, and you sit them down and you give them advice and they don't want to hear it, but it's for their own good. And you say that to them, I'm sharing this with you because it's for your own good. I love you. I cannot be with you all the time. So I need to make you aware that there are dangers out there. There are traps and distractions and pitfalls. So you need to be careful to obey. Be careful to obey so, child, you do not fall. That you do not fall. So as the Lord shared this with me, he shared with me that he was giving us here at Mossville Community Church a set of be carefuls for 2021, divine guidance. Why? Because God wants you individually and as a church to walk in the steps that have been ordered by him. He wants us to be a church of vision and a church who lives with purpose. So Joshua, he then proceeds to share this set of guidelines as I see it. And I believe that this set of guidelines is being presented to us here at Mossvale so that we can stay on course, so that we are careful to obey, so that we can live with hope, so that we will live with purpose, and that we will flourish, and that we will grow this year. So the first be careful statement, if you're taking notes, is this. Be careful to acknowledge who is in charge. As a church, as an individual, who's in charge? Who's in charge of your life? Is it you or is it God? You know, I've already mentioned all that Joshua went through, all the battles. I said earlier he could have taken all of the credit for it, pat himself on the back, but he didn't. He didn't. He acknowledged that God was in control. Every success church that takes place here at Mossvale Community Church is God's success. It's his doing. It's him who saves. It's him who speaks. And it's him that deserves all the glory. And Pastor Hugh spoke about that not so long ago. And the same is true for our own individual lives. When the breakthrough comes, when the storm is over, when the test results come back clear, what do? Do you pat yourself on the back or do you give God the glory? Let us here never stop giving God the glory and the praise. May we declare that this is the hand of the sovereign Lord. Mossvale leaders listening today, this is a call to humility. A humble leader will look to God instead of looking at themselves. Joshua could have taken all of the credit for his achievements, but he didn't. He knew who was responsible for the successes, for the victories, and it was God, and God got the glory. A test of a great leader is driven by their own awareness of their own sin and human frailty. You need God. You need him. You need him to lead you. You need his guidance. You need his words. You cannot do it on your own, nor do you want to do it on your own. So we need to acknowledge who it is who is leading us, that God is in control. If you want to be a godly husband, a godly wife, man, woman, Sunday school leader, youth leader, church elder, pastor, you need to begin by getting down on your knees and praying and allowing God to take complete and utter control of your heart and mind, to have total dependence on him, to acknowledge that he is the one that is leading. So our first be careful statement is this: be careful to acknowledge who is in control. The second be careful statement is be careful to walk in obedience. And there are a few be carefuls in this section. Be careful to obey God, to obey his words, and be careful who you worship. Joshua in this passage reminds the leaders that although the battles have been won, there are still enemies in the land. There's still an enemy. Verse 7, do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them. What is Joshua saying here? Do not compromise with the world around you, with worldly ways, with earthly desires. We are called to be set apart. We are called to be different. Jesus in the book of John says, we live in this world, but we are not of the world. You are out of this world. You're out of this world. So we need to be careful to obey God's ways and not the ways of the world around us. And church, this can be hard. This can be very difficult at times, which is why I believe that Joshua in verse 6 encourages them to be strong. To be strong. And you know, this encouragement for Joshua, it was more than just words for Joshua. For when Joshua was young, when Joshua was much younger, when Joshua was just starting out in his ministry, when he'd picked up the baton, the leadership baton from Moses, these were the words that God spoke to him. Back in Joshua 1, verses 7 to 9, this is what God commanded Joshua. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Amen. Here, Joshua is imparting the very words of instruction that God gave to him. Words that he knows have been tried and tested. Words that have led him through battle after battle. And now he's giving them to the people. So he was saying, be obedient. In order to be obedient to God, you're going to have to turn away from those other forces. Be strong and courageous. Don't be tempted by them, as these forces can have a strong pull at times. So you're going to have to be strong and courageous this year and be careful to obey so that you do not fall into these traps. Do not associate with these nations. Do not get caught up in the worldly ways. And these words of encouragement and caution are for us, church. They're for us today. God is saying, be careful not to get sucked in to the ways of the world, into popular culture. Instead, be strong, courageous, be obedient to God. He also says in verse 6, be careful to obey the word. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of Moses, without turning aside to the right or to the left. Again, the words God spoke to Joshua, same words back in Joshua 1, verse 8. Be careful to obey all the law of my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do you want to have a successful year this year? Well, church, we need to be a church that's in the Word. We need to read it. We need to meditate on it. We need to pray it. We need to study it, because without it, we are lost. We are lost in this world without it. We make wrong decisions. We make wrong choices. It's God's Word that's going to help us this year to stay on course. It's our sat-nav through life. The Bible tells us it's a lamp into our feet and a light into our path. It leads the way forward. If you're looking for vision, if you're looking to be led forward, then get into the words. And yes, at times, it can be challenging for us. It corrects us, doesn't it? It challenges us. It rebukes us at times. But we can't pick and choose the bits that we like. It's not a buffet. It will give you sustenance. It will give you the sustenance that you need for daily living. You know, when I was praying through the different sections in this word that the Lord has given to me, when I got to this section about obeying God's word, God presented me with a picture. And I saw from heaven a marching band that were dressed in fine, splendid uniform, and they were leading a procession. People had come out from their homes and from their shops, and they were lining the streets because the marching band were going to be ushering in a very important person. In church, the very important person came in, and it was the Lord, and he was wearing brightly colored robes, and he had a crown. It was the resurrected Savior. And as he passed by the people, instead of handing them out food parcels and throwing out money, what he had in his hand was the word of God, only it was a much bigger book than this that the Lord was carrying. And as he walked by the people, as he was led by the people, he began to tear pieces of the holy words out of the Bible and hand that into the crowds, and each person received a different piece of scripture. You see, God knows exactly what you need, and he knows exactly what you need to hear. You don't need to worry about what somebody else got, what page they got, because that word that he has given you is specific to you. He will speak to you through his word daily. And in this picture, God was giving us his word this year, and we were feeding on it. And Jesus from his own lips said that man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Amen. Matthew 4:4. So church, his word is our daily bread. We need to feed on his word. You know, we were created to be full, to feel full. That's why we like a full belly. That's why we like a full wardrobe or a full wallet. But these things, church, don't truly satisfy us. We will only be satisfied fully when we feed on the word of God. So be careful to obey, and be careful to obey the word of God. Now I want to look at worship. Be careful who you worship. Joshua encouraged the people, yes, to stand on the word of God, not to compromise the precious law. But he's also saying here, be careful who you worship. Be careful who you bow down to. You know, I've already said that there's a lot of distractions out there in the world. There's a lot that you could be worshipping right now. There's a lot that could be taking up your attention right now. You could be worshipping money, people, sex, fame, fortune. The list is endless. So ask yourself this morning, who's sitting on the throne of your heart? Is it King Jesus in his fine robes? Or is it something else or someone else? You know, sometimes we get a bit confused by this because that something else or that someone else could actually be something quite important, like your spouse, your children, or your church ministry. These are important things, but church, anything that takes the place of Jesus will lead to disobedience. I love my husband, Gordon. I love my children. I love being your pastor here at Moss Vale. But all of that cannot take the place of Jesus. All of that cannot take the place where Jesus must reside. I must love Jesus more. We must love Jesus more. When we love him first, when we put him first, all that other stuff, all those relationships, they'll only benefit when Jesus is king of your heart, when Jesus is on the throne of your heart. And Joshua tells them in verse 7, don't associate with these nations that remain among you. Don't bow down to anyone but God. Only bow down to Jesus. Only worship Jesus. Don't compromise your worship, church. Joshua tells them, verse 11, be careful to love God. The CSV version says, diligently watch yourself. Love the Lord your God. Make every effort to develop and nurture a closer relationship with him through worship. Now, I've not got time this morning to go into what worship is in detail, but you can worship God in many ways, through prayer, through praise, through silence, through fasting, through tithing. Yes, when you tithe your money, that is worship. That is giving God glory. It's worshiping him. All of that is worship. But what's most important is that you worship him with all of your heart, with all of your strength. So what have we looked at so far? Let's just have a quick look. God's vision for us this year in 2021 is a set of guidelines for godly living. So far, we've looked at being careful to acknowledge who's in charge. We are to be careful to obey his words. We are to be careful who we worship. We are only to worship the one true God, God the Father. So let's look at verses 9 to 13. Let me read them to you now. This section, Joshua is calling us to be careful how we live and how we love. Verses 9 to 13. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of your routes are 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. But if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you will be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your back and thorns in your eyes until you perish from the good land which the Lord your God has given to you. Again, he reminds the people of the fact that it is him that has led the people safely so far. It is God that has led them. It is God that has done it. He is the one that is in control. He is the one that deserves your heart, your whole heart. He desires all of you, not just a bit of you on a Sunday, not just a bit of you when you're serving. He deserves all of you every day. That he would be your first love, as it says in the book of Revelations. And that should be evident in your life when he is. You see, when we are living in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit should be evident in our lives. It should be pouring out of us. Others should look at us and want to taste it and see that the Lord is good. They would want a piece of that fruit of love and joy and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Folk around us should be able to see that we're different. When they look at you, they should be able to say, this is a man or a woman that has been with Jesus. So in this section, Joshua reminds the people to love God. Don't go back the way. Don't get caught up in sinful ways. Cling to him. Abide in him. Continue in God's love. That's what will keep you from ungodly influences. That's what will keep you separate. And Joshua warns that if we do not separate ourselves from ungodly influences, then those influences will become influences of torture, instruments of torture leading to destruction. Now, church, in my experience, not all temptations and earthly desires look torturous. No, they don't. In fact, most of the time they look alluring. They look appealing. They look tasty and desirable. But they will only lead you down the path of destruction. Here, Joshua is reminding them their abiding in God's love, their obedience to God, is what has brought them great blessing thus far. It's brought them protection and victory. It's because of their obedience. However, there's a warning that if you fail to abide in God's love, you will not receive that blessing. So remain steadfast. We are to remain steadfast in God's love. Be careful to obey him. Obey his words. Worship him. Worship him alone. Live for him and love him above all things. So finally, our final be careful statement is this. Be careful to remain hot. Joshua has given this very passionate farewell speech. He shared all the important wisdom that he feels that the people require for godly living. He's giving that same set of guidance, I believe, to us here this year at Moss Vale for 2021. And he's now coming to the end of his words of encouragement and of caution. And he says, I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord gave you has failed. Amen. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. But just as all the good things the Lord your God has promised you have come to you, so he will bring on all evil things he has threatened until the Lord your God has destroyed you from the good land he has given you. If you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you and you will quickly perish from the good land he has given you. Some tough words there at the end, but you see, Joshua knows that he might not have much more time left. There's no point in flowering it up. He's speaking the truth here. He knows it's hard sometimes to hear the truth, but he knows that it's for their own good. Like that parent that I spoke about earlier that takes a child to one side and says, look, I know you don't want to hear this, but it's for your own good. It's to keep you safe and solid. And in these final words, he's basically saying, don't take God's grace for granted. He says in verse 14, you know yourself what God's done. I don't need to tell you. I don't need to tell you, church, how faithful God is. You know. I know you know that God is faithful. And church, we do know. We know that God has been faithful to us. We all have a testimony to share about that. So Joshua is saying, do not take God's grace for granted. The grace and mercy that he's shown you, don't take that lightly. He has promised to protect you. He's promised to lead you, to guide you. Don't take that lightly. Do not be like the Laodicean church who were lukewarm. Let's not be like that. Let's not be complacent and lazy. Let's not be a people who hear the good word but don't live it. Don't be a people like that. Jesus died so that we could enter into the most precious relationship with our Father. A price was paid for us to be able to be in that precious relationship and in receipt of these amazing promises, the promises of God. So as we begin a new year here at Mossville Community Church, in our own personal lives, let's be a people who are led by the Spirit, who live with purpose, people who are careful to obey the word of God, to walk in obedience to his ways and to worship him above all things. Let's respond to God the Father in a way that glorifies only him. So as we come to the end of our time together this morning, God has called us as his children, as his sons and daughters. And he wants each and every one of us to remain in him, abide in him, worship him and be led by him. We have been called to live as a separate, set apart, spirit-filled, passionate people who are hot, who are on fire for Jesus. It's not always easy to keep that up. God knows that. That's why he's encouraging us to be strong and to be courageous and not to be afraid, to remain steadfast. He's also given us a set of very clear guidelines to look at, to obey, to follow, so that we can focus on him and obey his ways. So what is he giving us on this last Sunday of 2020? Well, we're to be careful to obey. We are to acknowledge who's in control. We are to be careful to obey him, only him, to obey his words, to worship only him, that we live for him, that we love him, that we remain a hot, passionate, spirit-filled people that are totally and utterly sold out for Jesus. Church, choosing to live obediently is not a heavy weight of do's and don'ts. Don't see it like that. It's a way of spirit-filled living, the life that Christ died for you to live. Elizabeth Elliot said this: God is God because he's God. He is worthy of my trust and obedience. I will find rest nowhere but in his holy will that is unspeakably beyond my largest notions of what he is up to. We don't need to know what this new year has in store for us. However, when we place our trust in God and live obediently, walking in his ways, we can be sure, we can be certain of the one who is leading us, the one that has promised us that he will never leave us, never forsake us, that he will protect us, he will guide us, that he has a plan for us. So church, let's take these wise words of guidance from Joshua today. Let's meditate on them. Let's apply them to our own personal lives, to our ministries. Let's write these words in our hearts and let's relate back to them this year in the good days and in the not so good days. But above all things, let us be careful to love the Lord our God with everything that we are and everything that we have. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you this morning and we thank you for your great faithfulness to us. Thank you for allowing your son to die so that we may be free. Free to live as your sons and your daughters, as your children. As we approach the end of what has been for many a difficult year, we thank you, Lord, that you are sovereign, that you are seated on your throne. And we thank you that not a moment went by this year that you were not with us, that you were not watching over us. Thank you, God. Father, as we come to the end of the year, we reflect on your goodness. But Lord, we look forward. We look forward with great anticipation at what you are going to do in and through our lives and through our church life this year. Lord, we surrender it all to you now. We thank you for the vision. We thank you for your guidance and instruction. May your word ever be on our hearts and minds this year. We ask that your Spirit would lead and guide us in your ways to be your people, a people who are passionate about you and quick to obey. Lord, we ask you to be ruler of our hearts and of our minds. Lord, we pray that by your Spirit we would love you above all things this year and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. We thank you for joining us for church this morning. We have come to the end of our last service of 2020. If you have any pastoral needs or you need support, please do not hesitate to get in contact with us here through our usual ways. There is a team of pastors and elders that are more than happy to spend some time with you over the phone and bring your needs and requests to us here. All that's left for me to say is thank you for being with us today, and we want to just say may you have a peace-filled, happy New Year when it comes. God bless.